Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host Dee Boghetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Hey, Bark Radio listeners. A beautiful, chilly, damp day here in Central Virginia. Great day to get your dogs out and walk them in the rain. They usually don't care.
do a soggy walk.
Oh, yeah, man. So I think we've got a bit of a this and that episode today. Yes, Terry?
I think it's in this and that. A little bit of updates and a couple of interesting pieces.
So what you got going on?
Well, I caught Rescue Inc. last night, and I don't know if you've been watching that show.
I have not.
For the folks that don't know, it's on cable. What channel is it on? National Geographic.
Okay.
And it's about a bunch of guys from New York, New Jersey. They're biker type guys, typical, you know, tattoos, giant men doing animal rescue.
Wow.
And they're sort of the tough guy rescue group. It's a really interesting show. I watched four episodes of it so far. The first one was horrible. Horrible. Just edited so poorly. And it was like nobody had a clue what was going on. And I was kind of disappointed. But it's gotten much better. They've got their ducks lined up. So.
Excellent.
But last night was on dogfighting.
Really? Oh, tell me.
Oh, yeah. This was a good one. Well, let me tell you my snippet that caught my attention and was so powerful. Almost sucked the life out of the room with that statement. They're in Philadelphia. Yeah, they were in Philadelphia, and it was a specific issue there, but they were talking with a cop who worked in this tough particular area of Philly for 20 years. His comment to them was that normally, in 20 years, you'd see one or two significant dog raids that go on in this area. And there's dog fighting's been going on. Since Michael Vick incident, it is the craze. He says, we get one or two a week.
Oh, that's horrible.
And I was stunned that, one, he said it on national television.
Yeah.
And you could just hear crickets when he said that. Because everybody knew it, everybody thinks it, but this cop stood up and said it.
He said it out loud. Okay, people, what? Oh, my.
I know, exactly.
There's this whole huge group of humanity who knows this is the most evil thing in the world. Dog fighting should not exist. And yet, there's this segment of the population, like in Philly, and could we assume in a lot of places it's the same way where, oh, now it's the in thing to do. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I would assume that. They didn't say that, but I kind of had that feeling anyway. I think that amplified it because he was popular as a sports person, and then, you know, these kids, and I mean, these are very poor areas.
Right.
And these kids got pretty much nothing to look up to or nothing to do. And
so they're following their hero's lead.
Yeah, pretty much. It worked for him, more or less. I guess, you know, 18 months in prison doesn't bother him, so... But they have in this particular area, they're talking about roving dog fights. It's hard to bust them up now because you'll just see people walking and they'll go to a park and the fight starts. They start laying bets.
That's horrible. Yeah. So what brought the crew, Rescue Inc., to Philly?
Well, they got a call from the ASPCA there, and they had a cold case of a pit bull that was hung on a fence with electrical cord and then stoned to death. And they went out and they were trying to, one, get some awareness out there, and two, get some leads. There's a $6,000 reward that's been put up. And so Rescue Inc. went out and they were talking to people, canvassing the neighborhood. They actually have a lead, but the dude's gone into hiding. They know who the head person was behind this during the episode, but he's just disappeared. And the guy is noticeable because his transportation is a mountain bike, and he has his address tattooed under his eye in big numbers. Apparently it's a thing. You put your home address number under your eye. Must be a Philly thing. I don't get it, but...
Well, so they have a lead.
They have a lead, but
That's
he's disappeared.
Great.
And at the end, they put the little blurb up. They still haven't caught him, but they know who they're looking for.
He needs to be on America's Most Wanted.
Yeah.
There should be a dog version of that show.
There should be. But there'd be a long list of idiots on it.
Oh, my gosh. That's horrible. And when they, if they do apprehend this person, I'm sure a lot of dog lovers would agree that the same thing should be done to him that he did to the dog.
You know, I'd be okay with that.
I would be too.
And there's people who think that I'm horrendous. You know, I'd throw the first rock.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so inhumane. And a person, we've talked about it before, you know, a person who can do that to an animal, what are they like with human beings? Mm-hmm. Don't even want to think about what he does to anybody who is close to him.
Well, that was one of the interesting pieces. The two people that turned him in, they met miles away from the neighborhood and hidden behind a building to talk to these guys because they feared for their lives. This is the type of guy he is.
Scary, scary person.
So I hope they catch him. I don't know what Philly's laws are around the dog fighting. From what I've read, it seems that there's laws exist, but they're not often enforced.
And now it's really becoming an issue, so perhaps they will be enforced now.
I would hope, but...
I can only hope.
So it was a really interesting episode. That statement was such a powerful statement.
That will stop you in your tracks.
Yeah.
Now, again, for our listeners, it's on Friday nights.
Friday nights, 10 o'clock, National Geographic.
And it's Rescue Inc.
Rescue Inc. Unleashed.
Okay.
And it's a hoot. The guys are characters. Most of them are from New York, New Jersey.
And they love animals.
And they love animals. And most of them are about, I don't know, 6-something, 300 pounds, and arms the size of tree trunks.
Big dudes.
Tattooed. And you see a pack of them walking down the road that gets your attention. And they all have Rescue Inc. with a big pit bull with lightning bolts on it. And it says abusers or losers on the back.
That's and fabulous. They good are, for them.
In this case, when they rode into Philly, they're on their motorcycles.
Well, you know, it sounds like they're the kind of folks that can really help this kind of issue. You know, visually, they're intimidating. They are comfortable going into bad neighborhoods. Good for them. I hope they can make a difference.
That's one of their key things. They're the rescue group that goes in places nobody else will go because it's dangerous. One guy, Angel... is retired cop.
Cool.
Very cool. So you can kind of see the different niches in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of guys that are have some different backgrounds, and like one guy makes custom hot rods.
All right.
He's old school.
Mm-hmm.
One guy is a techie. Johnny O, I'm pretty sure, is the techie. He seems to run all their web stuff. And
so look for them on the web too.
Yeah, they're on Facebook. They have their
probably
own site.
Google Rescue Inc. Huh?
Yeah. So that was interesting. So that caught my attention.
Very cool. I'll have to catch that.
Cool. So, Scoop and Ice Cream. I hear we had an update.
Oh, yeah. An update on... We had a great fundraiser recently at Cold Stone Creamery, and the money was for Canine Companions for Independence. And we found out this week that we made, in 2 hours, $100 for them.
Good.
That's very cool. I'm very proud of us, man.
Did that include tips, or was that...
I don't know. I'm assuming it's the total with the tip jar and what people bought, you know, the 15% of everything that people bought in those 2 hours. So I thought it was great, you know, and they were tickled to death.
$100 is $100.
Absolutely. So thank you for everyone who came out and allowed us to scoop ice cream for you. It was a fun time.
And if it was messy on the side of the cup, we apologize for that. Well, we weren't the best scoopers, but...
Not professional scoopers, no. At least not that sort of thing.
No. So, that was cool. That was a good time.
Yeah. What else we got?
Oh, we were talking a little bit earlier about Find It.
Oh, the Find It game with your dogs.
Yeah, Find It's a lot of fun, especially in the colder winters, depending on where you guys are at that are listening. But, you know, here it gets chilly, so we play indoor games some. And there's variations of Find It. Sometimes I hide a toy. Sometimes I hide myself, and they find me.
So hide and seek for people and dogs.
Yep. So just this week, actually, I had a really interesting experience with Sparky. Sparky's typically, you know, a step behind Surrey in finding.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting the game now.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I start the game is I put him in a sit-stay in the hallway, and I go upstairs, and I hide, and then I release them.
Okay.
And... if they start to get lost or not really finding me, I'll make little noises or something.
Just to kind of get them aimed.
Yeah, get them a little bit closer. Well, Sparky found me for the first time on his own.
Ooh.
And it was the most amazing reaction I have ever seen in a dog. If you imagine a 3-year-old child at its happiest moment doing a little dance, that's what Sparky did. he did this little happy dance when he found me, because
Suri
did
not
find me.
He knew he did something extraordinary.
His first time.
Woohoo!
And it was just an amazing
display,
thing to see.
Huh?
Yeah. I've never seen a dog do that.
How old is he?
7.
So guys, think about this. This dog spent a lot of his life as a rescue and at a rescue place.
Yeah, about at least 3 years of his life.
Yeah. And he's been with you guys not even a year yet.
Right.
And he has discovered that life with Terry and Vicky is really fun. And
a little more interesting.
Yeah. So for this dog to have that experience and to respond that way, knowing he did well.
Yeah.
You know,
that
was so
touching.
Cool.
It was so touching.
Oh, man. So playing with your dogs just brings incredible rewards. And this is just an example of one. That's very cool.
It was the other side of this was, and it was, again, it was Sparky, because they were together, but he actually found me. Mm-hmm. But I startled him. I didn't do anything. He just didn't know I was where I was at.
Right.
So I was up in one of the spare bedrooms, mm-hmm. and the door was kind of cricked, and the mm-hmm. room was dark, and they came in there, and Suri's looking around, and Sparky's looking around, and he looks behind the door, and he saw something move, and his eyes got real big, and his ears went back, like, what the hell is that? And he goes, oh, it's Dad.
Scared me there for a minute, man.
Did.
Thought there was a ghost in the house. Whoa.
It was really funny. But he got happy again. But
well, guys,
nothing like the first time.
It's so cool. And you can do it with multiple dogs. And what is... not only is this a great game, but the way Terry starts the game is with obedience. And so having a great stay with your dog allows you to play this game just one person. Mm-hmm. Rather than having two people and the second person holding the dog or dogs. And it makes them think. And that's wonderful for dogs. In my house, I have two labs. One is 8 years old, and her nose is trained. She was a trained search and rescue dog. Murphy is 4.5 years old, and he's a trained therapy dog, and his nose is basically used to find dinner, which isn't too hard since it's in a bowl. So... one of the games that we play in the house is hiding a toy. And I'll downstay both of them in one room, and I'll take a toy and hide it somewhere in the house and then release them and tell them to find. And in our world, it's Cody in the lead, Murphy behind going, what we doing, have not a clue, but I'm following Cody. Okay. And Cody will search high and low until she finds the toy. And her finds I can make really hard because she's got that trained nose. Mm-hmm. And she will methodically search a room. She usually starts with the perimeter of a room and searches it first. And then whatever is next going inward, for example, around the edges of a bed, on a bed. I've put things in like a drawer and a chest of drawers in the bottom drawer and just left that drawer open maybe an inch.
That's tricky.
And she'll find it. Absolutely. Behind a door, anywhere you can think of. When they really get good, you can... well, when you think about scent, if, for example, I haven't made my bed and I want to put the toy, at least partially, for example, under a pillow on my bed or under the sheet a little bit, the strongest scent, that whole bed smells like me. But the strongest scent is on what I touched last. Mm-hmm. So it's the toy. And that's how a dog with a really good nose finds the toy in amongst the bed linens.
Nice.
It's just the coolest thing.
It sounds like a great thing. I don't think either one of these are quite at that level yet.
And so, yeah, guys, so you start her... well, remember, for 4 years, she spent all 4 years using her nose all the time. But start your dog slow and teach them what the Find It game is like. And... make sure they succeed, you know? Make it easy.
And what, even whether it's easy, make sure that you give them praise.
Oh, yeah. Because what do they want from us? They want our approval.
Right.
And sometimes dogs need nothing more than, what a great job you did. And give them a good, you know, petting and rubbing and I'm so proud of you. And they'll be like, okay, let's do it again. Yeah. Dogs so are there to make us happy, to interact with us. And if you're having, for example, behavior issues at your house, if your dogs are chewing things, if they're not wee puppies and still teething, think about interacting with games like this in your home because they need mental stimulation as well as physical exercise. Mm-hmm. And this is just one of many ways to do it.
Well, we've talked too in the past about the muffin tin game, and you know, muffin tin tennis balls and a treat under one of them, and that's great.
It's a great nose training thing, scent training game, absolutely. Yeah. And what we enjoy talking about is how different dogs do the game differently. Some will take every single ball out. Some will take only the ball out with the treat under it. Some will, like Mr. Sparky, just go, whoop, hit. I just did a visual. Sorry, I keep forgetting we're on radio. He'll hit the tin with his paw, right? Yeah, and everything goes flying.
Everything goes flying.
I love it.
He's evolving, though.
Is he?
Yeah. You can tell he's starting to use his nose more. It's less brute force.
There you go.
So
interesting.
He'll pick and choose a little bit. And now if he gets frustrated... Or sometimes I get tricky, and I'll put maybe 4 treats out of 6. So if he can't necessarily distinguish, then he just knocks them all over and takes a treat.
Okay, so this is, now it's too hard, and I just want the treats. You know?
Well, you got to mix it up. So you do one for a while, and then I'll do multiples. And that.
It's just fun stuff. One quick note about hide and seek. Hide and seek is also a blast outdoors. And... again, this one, probably you'll want 2 people, and make sure you're in an area that's safe, like a fenced-in yard, or put a long line on your dog in case you need to catch them quickly, let that long line, 20-foot long line drag. But the deal is to make the dog want to find you, and you can also give all family members names, so it, ultimately mom can say, go find dad. And but so you can start, you know, putting names to people. But initially, all you have to do is go running away from your dog. Somebody holds your dog. You go running away from your dog, happy, waving your arms, making some noises, and slide yourself in behind a barrier. It can be behind the edge of a porch, behind a tree, whatever you've got in this area, in this fenced-in area. And then all you do is stay completely still. Because when you're still and you're behind something, you become more or less invisible to your dog. And then the person holding your dog says, find, and lets them go. And hopefully they will have been straining on their leash or their collar going, man, I want to go get dad or mom, whatever.
Right.
And the idea is that they should leave the person holding them like as fast as they can run, trying to find you. And what I love is there's a little bit of breeze, many dogs will head toward where they saw you run to. They will pass that point, and you'll see them flip back around and come to you, and that's because they caught your scent as they were running by. They don't know where you stopped. So, again, just another version of it, and a really fun game.
It's neat. We do that in the backyard.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they love it. Mm-hmm. And they're sometimes we just, even I'm not particularly hidden, sometimes we're just running them, so I'll... Mm-hmm. They'll be at one end, I'll be at the other, and I'll call them, and they'll race to me.
Yeah.
And they each get a cookie.
Well, yeah, because they did it. They came to you. How cool is that?
Yeah, that's
so
great.
Yeah, your practice and recall, I mean, there's so many versions of it. So
that's a good game.
Have fun with your dogs, guys. That's the key. Okay.
I think that's it.
All right, have a great one.
See you guys.